Happy Sunday, church. Good morning. Can you celebrate yourself? Amen. Can you celebrate our Father and our Savior as well? Can you celebrate all the pastors in the house today? Amen. Hallelujah. God has a word for you this morning. And I want you to assume a posture that is idyllic for the Holy Spirit to reach out to you this morning. Every time that you come to church is an opportunity for you to engage God again. It's an opportunity for God to reach out to you. And what you take home from today's message is directly contingent upon your posture, the posture of your heart to Him. I pray that what God has proposed to do today in your life shall be done in the name of Jesus. Shall we rise up as we pray? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us as we've gathered before you this morning again to learn at your feet, to hear what you have for us, because we know that you are the source of true word. The Bible says the unfolding of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. As we've come today to interface with you, we pray that you speak to us in a manner that is clear, in a manner that is lucid, in a manner that is compelling, in the mighty name of Jesus. I stand before your people soliciting for your permission to preach and not to entertain. I pray you give me the spiritual strength and the physical energy to be able to dispense your word in a manner that is consistent with sound doctrine, in the name of Jesus. That which you have proposed to do in your people's heart today shall be done in the mighty name of Jesus. And nothing will thwart your counsel. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, give him the loudest amen you have. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The title of my assignment to you this morning is Message from Mess. If you want to write topic down, a message from mess. And we are going to be reading two scriptures this morning. The first is found in the 11th chapter of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 11 from verse 1 to 11. And then Job chapter 14, 7 to 9. Judges chapter 11, 1 to 11. Bible scholars in the house, who wrote the book of Judges? Who wrote the book of Judges? Bible scholars, Bible students. Go and do it. It's an assignment for you. I will ask on Wednesday. Come on Wednesday and give me a response. Who wrote the book of Judges? All right. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. He was a mighty man of valor. But he was a son of a prostitute. And Gilead was his father. The Bible said he was a man of valor, a valiant warrior. But there was something that was added to it. But he was a son of a prostitute. Pay attention to that. And Gilead was his father. Verse 2. Gilead's wife bore him sons, and when they grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You will have no inheritance in our father's family because you are a son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Then some worthless men joined Jephthah and went on raids with him. Sometime later, the Ammonites fought against Israel. When the Ammonites made war with Israel, the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. They said to him, "Come, be our commander, and let's fight the Ammonites." Look at Jephthah's response. He said, "Didn't you hate me and drive me out of my father's family?" That meant that it was not only his half-brothers that drove him away, right? It was not only his half-brother that drove him away. Even the elders of Gilead, they colluded to drive Jephthah out of his father's house. Didn't you hate me and drive me out of my father's family? Why then have you come to me now when you are in trouble? They answered Jephthah, that's true. But now we turn to you. Come with us. Fight the Ammonites and you will become leader of all the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to them, if you are bringing me back to fight the Ammonites and the Lord gives them to me, I will be your leader. The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord is our witness if we don't do as you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead. The people made him their leader and commander. And Jephthah repeated all his terms in the presence of the Lord at Mizpah. Hallelujah. Job chapter number 14, verse 7 to 9. There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. And its shoots will not die. If its roots grow old in the ground and its stump starts to die in the soil, the scent of water makes it thrive and produce twigs like a sapling. Hallelujah. Message from mess. That is why I'm going to be talking to you this morning. A mess is a state of brokenness, of challenges, of trials and suffering. A messy situation is a state of brokenness, a state where you are defeated, a state where your strength can no longer help you, a state where your power seems insufficient. A mess is a state of brokenness, of despair, of affliction. I want to draw attention back to the book of Judges. Look at the introduction of Jephthah. Jephthah was a valiant warrior. Jephthah was a powerful man. But there's something that was attached to that introduction. But he was the son of a prostitute. Why was that important to be added into that text? I mean, he was a warrior. He was a valiant man. He was a powerful man. But there was a limitation that was attached to his name. A limitation that was attached to his identity. And that limitation had a negative impact on his life. I want to go back to the background of Jephthah. He was given back to as a result of an infidelity. There are some things that will happen in your life that already happens in our lives that were beyond our control. Jephthah didn't ask to be born out of wedlock. He didn't have to be born out of infidelity. But that was what happened in his life. Are there some situations in your life as well? Maybe the background that you came from that is actively acting negatively, that is having a negative impact on your life. You didn't ask for it. Maybe you were born into a polygamous family. You didn't ask for it. But it has happened. And now it begins to influence the life that you are living. Jephthah was a powerful man. That was his identity. He was a man of valor. But yet there was something against his life. Because he was born out of wedlock. He was born as a result of an infidelity. And because of that, his half-brothers, they chased him out of his father's family. They chase him out of his home. You cannot inherit our father's property. You cannot inherit our father's inheritance. You cannot inherit the property that our father has. And because of that, they chase him out of the house. I want to go back to your background this morning. I want to start from your background. Is your life, your current life, a result of something that had happened in your background, in your life? Things that you were not, or things that you have no control over. Maybe you had a potential when you were growing up to become somebody great. You had a potential. Maybe you were very, very smart and intelligent growing up. And everything that you have is being given to you. But somewhere along the line, something shifted. Something happened. Something tragic happened. Maybe the father or the mother died when you were growing up. Things that were beyond your control. Things that you cannot control. Yet they happened. And because of that, it impacted your life. Because of that, it set the course of your life. It altered the course of your life. And you begin to live life just flippantly. My dad died. My mom died. I mean, when I was growing up, I had this, I had that, I had this. But because of what happened, my life has been altered. Maybe your dad lost his job. And because of that, they could not afford your tuition. Maybe something happened in your family. And the course that you were going before, it was changed. And because of that, you started living. You have no direction anymore. No sense of identity. The identity has been lost. That was what happened to Jephthah as well. He was the son of a prostitute. Even though he was a valiant man. Even though he was a powerful man. He was the son of a prostitute. I was fascinated when I was reading that verse. That why did you have that to eat? I mean, why? But he was the son of a prostitute. That means your background can have an impact in your life. How you were born, the family that you were born to can have an impact in your life. Many of you are born into the family that you are because you have no control over it. If you had the knowledge right now and they ask you that, which, if you are coming again the next day, maybe I don't know, if you are coming to world again, and they ask you which country do you want to be born into? Which country are you going to pick Nigeria again? Let's be sincere. Are you going to pick Nigeria again? Knowing what you know now, are you still going to be like, I like that Nigeria. Let me go again. Let me go to Nigeria. Let me enter Nigeria again. Many of you will choose America, right? Some of you will choose England. I want to be born British. I want to be born an American. Someone said that if you are born a Nigerian, if you are born a Nigerian, life is already leading you 1-0. I don't know if you agree with that sentiment. If you are born in Nigeria, life is already leading you 1-0. We do not choose where we come from. We don't choose our background. It happened. And all of these things has the tendency to change and alter the course of our lives. And that was what happened to Jephthah. Even though his identity was a valor, it was a man of valor. He was meant to be a man of valor. He was meant to be a powerful man. He was meant to be someone that people run to in their time of crisis. Someone that will stand up and will intercede. Or someone that will stand up and will act upon his identity as a man of valor. He became someone that was chased out of his family. That his half-brother, they colluded against him and they chased him out. He had no control over his life. He had no control over his background. He was born the way everybody else was born, only that he was the son of a prostitute. And because of that, as he was growing up, his half-brother, they said, no, you cannot, you're not part of us. You are not part of this family. You were born out of wedlock. Someone that has a family today became someone that was living in the wilderness tomorrow. Things can change in our lives. Situations can alter our course of life. And maybe you are seated here this morning as well. And you are thinking that I could have been this. I could have been this person. If not for what happened. If not for this that happened in my family. If not for this that happened in my life. If not because my dad died at a young age. If not because my mom died at a young age. If not because my dad lost his job. I could have become this. I could have become that. Things happen that we cannot control. But I'm here this morning to tell you that even though your life has taken a turn for the worse, God can still bring out a message from that mess. God can still bring out his intention. What he wants to do with your life is still valid in the agenda of God for this generation. Jephthah became someone that was that he became a vagabond. That's the word. A vagabond, someone that lives outside of the city. And because of that, he began to fraternize with these with thugs, right? Because the Bible said that as a result of his circumstance, he began to mingle with people who are unprincipled. People who are unprincipled. People who are devious. He began to go on a raid with them. He began to steal. He began to go on a raid. He began to steal property. He became a vagabond. One lesson I want to draw out of this place is that sometimes people go through stuff not because they wanted to do it. It was because of the situation that happened in their life. That is why everybody that you meet in your life, you should extend a show and a hand of compassion and empathy to them, because you don't know what they have been through. We should not automatically just condemn somebody because they are living an unprincipled life. Something could have happened to them. Something could have happened to them that have beyond, that were beyond their control. If you have a, if you add a glimpse into their lives, you will see where they were coming from. You will see their background. You will see what happened to them and why they became what they become today. Extend a show of friendship, of respect and courtesy to people whenever you meet them, especially in the church. Do not condemn anybody you are sitting beside. Maybe they are not, they are worse than you. And just look at them and just condemn them. People are going through stuff. People came from a background that were unpalatable. People came from a background that were so bad. And as Christians, as a family, we are meant to extend a hand of fellowship and love and compassion and empathy to them. Jephthah was a man that had a family yesterday, but today he was banished from his family by his own half-brothers. Things happen in our life that we cannot change, but that should not define where we are going. Amen. That should never define where we are going. Maybe you are seated here and you think that because of what had happened in your life, then your destiny has been altered. Your destiny is now invalid. The Lord told me to come to you this morning to tell you that even that mess that you are currently in, God can still transform it for you. He can bring a message out of that mess. He can bring a message out of that situation. Your past has happened, but God can change it as a powerful instrument to bring people to himself. God can still show his power, can still display the excellency of his strength in that situation that you are going through. Some things that we go through are not the fault of our own. It's because we cannot control them. But God told me to tell you this morning that he can change your situation and make a message out of it. When I was growing up, I used to think that as a Christian, our life should be the best life on the surface of the planet. On the surface of the planet. When I was growing up in Bible study, the way they tell us about things that people did. I mean, Moses parted the Red Sea. Wow, that's incredible. Elijah commanded the rain to come, to fall. And he also forestalled the rain from falling. And the hurt happened. These people did great things. And I believe that as Christians, we should also tap into that our life should be easy. I mean, our life should be better. We should be devoid of any suffering, of any pain, of any adversity. Our life should be a walk in the park, a bed of roses. That was my understanding, or that was my perception growing up. The idea of Christian suffering was a foreign concept to me. Why should a Christian suffer? I don't know if I'm the only one that thinks that. Why should a Christian suffer? I mean, Jesus already died for my sins. He already gave me victory. He already did everything. So I should just enter that dimension and just be enjoying. Just be living life. Just be chilling. without any problem, without any suffering, without anything. But as I grew older, I understand that suffering is part of the Christian experience. Suffering is part of the Christian experience. If you are suffering right now, it's not because you've done something bad. It's not as a result of one thing that you did. It's just part of the experience that we encounter as Christians. Part of the things that we go through as Christians. Sometimes we express unpalatable situations. So I began to grapple with that idea that why should I suffer? Why should I feel pain? But I understood that God sometimes shapes us and use that situation to shape our lives, use that situation to display His power, use that situation to tell people that He is God. Remember that when the apostles, when they were persecuted as well, they were happy. They began to thank God. They began to praise God. That, Father, we thank You for allowing us to go through these situations, for allowing us to go through this persecution, because we have been a partaker of Your suffering. We have participated in that cup that You drank as well. So first of all, I want to tell you that the suffering that you are going through, sometimes God allows it to happen to refine and to shape you. So if you are here, you are grappling with the idea as well that why should I suffer as a Christian? Number one, the reason why you suffer is that God wants to refine and strengthen your faith. God wants to refine and strengthen your faith. God can only be refined after it has passed through fire. There is a process that happens to a gold before it comes out refined. And that process is through the fire. Through the worst situation. God allows you to go through them so He can refine your faith. It can strengthen your faith. It can strengthen your faith. The book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 5 to 7. 1 Peter 1, 5 to 7. The Bible says that you have been guided by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials. So that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, though perishable, is refined by fire. And it may result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus. If we go through trials, we have an opportunity to rely upon God. We have an opportunity to refine our faith. We have an opportunity to reach out to God to strengthen our faith in Him. It is not palatable, but it is necessary sometimes. It is not pleasurable, but it is imperative sometimes. God brings us through trials and situations, and the purpose is to refine and strengthen our faith. Also, it helps us to build our character. We go to trials so that God can use it to build our character. Maybe you are someone that you are very, very temperamental. And God will deliberately put some things in your path to teach you how to be more humble, how to be down to earth. When I was in university, things easily just, frustrate me. Just frustrate me. If I tell you something once, you're not getting it, I'm already frustrated. I cannot repeat again. That's just me. I get frustrated so easily. And I don't want to say angry. Is it angry? Just frustrated. I just, so there is a man, there's this guy that God deliberately put into my life. His name is Joseph. To constantly frustrate me. His entire mission is to frustrate my life every day. we live in the same hostel. Frustrates me. Any small thing, I will just flare up. What is wrong with you? You've started again. Oh, what's your wala? You just laugh and just leave. He will come back again in the evening. He will do something that just annoys me again. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Sometimes I leave my room for him. I just leave and just go out. My own room that I paid for. It's not staying in my room. I will just leave my room and just go out. Sometimes I'll just go in the morning. I just come back in the evening. I just don't want to have anything to do with him. But he stays just directly opposite to my room. So there's no way to there's no way to avoid him. And no matter how annoyed I get, you just start laughing. I know that if you're angry and somebody is laughing, what will you do? It boils you, it annoys you the more. I'm trying to tell you something that I'm frustrated with, and you are still laughing. You just laugh and say, nothing if you do. You just leave. Come back again in the next 2 hours. Sometimes I will talk to him, I will berate him, I will deliberately say something to him that will make him get annoyed as well. So he can feel my pain. So maybe for the next 2 or 3 weeks, we are not going to talk. Just do your own, I will do my own. Sometimes I will deliberately say something to him to annoy him. He will not. He will just go outside in the evening, come back again. So, during that season, I think God was trying to teach me something that even though you say something bad to him, he doesn't get angry. Can you also emulate that trait? That something does not easily beset you. Something does not easily buffet you. If you are here, you're temperamental. Go back home and do some sort of introspection. Think about it. Why are you getting angry? What's going on? And ask God for grace. Ask God to give you grace. So that you don't get angry anytime and every time again. So God deliberately put Joseph into my life to teach me humility, to teach me humility. So let me know that the journey in my life will be full of people who are going to constantly annoy you. And if you get angry easily, that means that those people have a sway over you. They have a hold over you. They have a hold over you. Someone said that getting annoyed is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I was getting angry. Getting boiled. So frustrated. And the person that was causing that anger was just laughing. The person that was causing the anger was just laughing and was just okay. Sometimes I'm telling you that God will take you through some situation to refine and develop your character. To develop your character. Because your character must be a similitude of Christ's character. Look at Christ Jesus. That is the model that we are trying to emulate. Christ should be the model that we are trying to emulate. In everything that they did against him, in everything that they did against Christ on the cross, he never cursed anybody. He didn't utter any bad word. Even though the pain was excruciating, yet he was praying for them. Can you get to a position that you are going to be praying for people who are constantly annoying you? People who are constantly persecuting you, you are praying for them as well. I'm not calling on the church when you're in the ile. Mo fe kinda bi Jesu ninu iwa pele ko se ni to boro binu lenu rele. God can take us through situations to build our character, to develop our character, to help us look at Jesus as the model, to help us look at Jesus, to emulate him. Even though they did things that were bad to him, yet he never uttered any insult to anybody. We go through some situations to refine our character, to to develop our character, to make us better, to make us be more like Christ Jesus. Even though you don't have any control over what happened in your life, even though you are also like Jephthah, that was chased out of his family, that was banished out of his city and became a vagabond. Even though people have deserted you, even though people have denounced you, yet, you cling to Christ and you say, Father, help me develop my character. Help me to become better in you again. Even though the multiplicity of what I'm going through is very overwhelming, I don't understand them, but I know that you have a plan and purpose for my life. This messy situation that I'm going through, I know that you have a message that I want to extract from it. I know you want to make me a bastion influence and inspiration to people outside the world. It's not only for me. Sometimes you go through stress, you go through situations that are not meant for you. They are meant for other people around you. Amen. They are meant for people who surround you, so that they can look at what they can look into your life and can see a similitude of what is happening also in their life and how God helped you to overcome that situation, so that they can come to you and ask you that, how did you do it? And because of that, God can use that situation to become a powerful force, an instrument to help other people. We go through trials and situations so that God can use it to develop our character. I want you to make an introspection in your life right now. Just go through your life. Make an inventory of your life. And look at those areas, those things that you are experiencing difficulty in. And you can just ask God that, God, what is the purpose of this situation? What is the purpose of this trial? Romans chapter 5 verse 3 to 5 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations as well, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given unto us. Amen. Tribulation sometimes produces patience in our lives. It helps us, it leads to experience. The thing that you've been through before, it gives you wisdom to be able to communicate to other people going through the same situation. Amen. The next word is building compassion and empathy. Why God allow us to go through difficulty? Why God allow us to go through messy situation? Is to build compassion and empathy for other people. To build compassion and empathy for other people. If you go through the adversity of life and you keep out overcoming, it will help you to reach out to other people. It will help you to have a heart for them. It will help you to empathize with people who are also going through a similitude of that experience. And you can tell them that, I have been in that situation, and I'm telling you, God can also bring you out of it. This is my testimony. These are the things I went through as well. A similar experience to yours. And look at how God has helped me. Look at how God has helped me to overcome it. And I believe that God can also do the same to you. I've been there. God has brought me out. And he will also do the same thing to you. So sometimes it helps us to show compassion and empathy to other people. We don't live in isolation. What you go through, God can use it as an instrument to reach out to other people. I know what it means to... God, 20 level was the worst experience in my life. When I was a latex, I still remember everything that happened in 20 level. I understood what... I understood what it means to be hungry at 20 level as a student. Because I was not receiving money from home. I didn't have any job, nothing. I had to go to school. I had to go to school without food. I used to tell this testimony to many people that knows me very well. I used to tell them, I drank Gary for 16 consecutive days. Nothing else. Nothing else. No other food for 16 consecutive days. I didn't have money. I didn't have anything. The woman, the vendor that was toward the hostel, I've forgotten the name of the woman now. At the front of just my hostel. I was owing her. Because I would just go, I just collect today, Indomie, tomorrow, before I went on 16 days, whatever. I used to, you know, just go out, I'm not here for many, hey, give me that, give me that. Guess how much I owe the woman? I owe her almost 27,000 naira. From a shop, a small shop. She was just selling Indomie, selling, doing normal student stuff. I owe her 27,000 naira from a small shop. It got to a point that I was very, very ashamed to go out. To go out. Because our shop is just directly in front of my hostel. So if I come out, I'm going to see her. 27,000 naira. I had nothing. I was just open on God, going to school, coming back, still doing assignments, going for night class, all of those things. It was a lot. It was a lot. The money that I have, I used to pay the debt. It's reduced. Sometimes you go up again. Reduce, go up again. And the woman was so, so nice. Even at that, she was still giving me. I became so lean. Nothing was... I know you have experiences like that. But there was never a time that I thought that God has left me because I was hungry. Or if there's anybody that is thinking like that, that because you are going through what you are going through, it's because God has left you, or God has deserted you, or your prayer life, or your whatever is bad or something. No. God sometimes allows us to go through them so that we can have empathy and compassion for other people going through them. That is why you cannot tell me that you are hungry. And I'm not giving... you cannot tell me that you are hungry. Because I knew what it meant to be hungry. You cannot tell, if you want to get me, just tell me you are hungry. I will look for the money. Don't come to me. I will just try. If I can't do, I will try and do something. I'm just saying it because sometimes God will allow us to go through that situation that you are going through right now. Just relax. Just hope. Continue to hope. Continue to pray. God will bring you out of that situation and will use you as a point of contact to other people that are going through it so that you can have compassion and empathy for them. Hebrews 4 is talking about Jesus Christ, that there is no other person that can intercede for us. No other high priest that we have other than Christ Jesus, because he experienced everything that we went through. He was tempted in a similitude of everything. He went through the same struggle. He walked through the same path. He was hungry. Jesus Christ was hungry. I hope you know that. Hello? Jesus was hungry. Because sometimes you often think that whenever you hear Jesus, when he was on earth, he was God. He was God. I mean, Jesus was God. I mean, no. Yes, he was God. Or he is God. Yet, he was still human. And when he was walking the shores of this world, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry to the point that he thought the fig tree, right? He thought there was fruit on the fig tree. He didn't know. You asked me that, why didn't Jesus know? She said, I didn't know the old Morocco. I didn't make it go. He should know everything. But with Jesus was also human. So some things, there are some times he did not know stuff. Yes. There were some times Jesus did not know. There were some times Jesus also expressed hunger. There were some times Jesus expressed thirst. He was very thirsty. There were some times Jesus was emotional and he cried. All of these things are in your Bible. Jesus cried. And now Hebrews 4 is telling us that if you come through him, if you approach God through Christ Jesus, he is the perfect high priest that we have. To intercede for us. To intercede on our behalf. Because why? He has gone through the same struggle that we went through. He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. Making him the perfect figure for us. So whatever you are going through right now, God will use it as a point of contact to other people. So you can go through them. You can teach them. So you can minister to them. So you can counsel them that this is what I went through as well. These are the steps. These were the approaches that I took. And this was how God helped me to overcome them. God can use that mess and bring out a message from it to help people, to bring people down, to bring people up, to restitute them. A mess is any situation that looks hopeless and embarrassing and painful in our lives. But God can still use them as a raw material to produce faith and a message of hope and of restoration. We are going through the month of restoration right now. And I pray that everything that you have lost, God will restore you in the mighty name of Jesus. Look at the life of Job as well. He went through the same struggle. He went through a moment of despair, a moment of hopelessness. But at the end, he was restored. At the end, after everything, he was restored. The appointed time of God that he has designated for your life will come quickly in the name of Jesus. So what do we do during challenging seasons? I'm going to run through this very quickly. What do we do during challenging times, during messy situations? Number one is we listen. We listen. Hello? We listen. And what is the importance or the necessity of listening? Because God will always reach out to you. Listen. Just sit down and listen. That God, this situation I'm going through, what do you want me to know? This season I'm in, what are the lessons that you want me to draw out? Just stay and listen. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Don't compare yourself with other people. Just listen. Sometimes God wants to get our attention and will allow us to go through some things. Our mind is too overwhelmed and cluttered with a lot of things, and God needs our attention. Sometimes he will put an impediment on our way so that we can sit down and listen to him. So that we can sit down and hear his voice. What are you telling me this moment, Lord? What are you telling me? What are you saying? What are you saying to me? I want you to go back home and practice and cultivate the habit of listening to God. Listening to God. It's one of the hardest things. One thing I've noticed that listening is one of the hardest things that we do. Even though it's very simple, it's very hard. And that shows in the way we communicate with ourselves. Whenever we are arguing, we don't want to know what the person, we don't want to know the perspective of that person. Yo, this, no. You always want to give a response. You always want to rebut. No, this what, no, you have to listen to me. Sometimes can we learn the art of listening? If you listen more than you talk, than you speak, you are going to understand where somebody is coming from. You are going to have a mutual communication with somebody. Let us stop this habit of always coming to God to speak to, only to talk to him. Only to talk to him. You just come and say, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, I need that. In Jesus' name we pray. You are out of the room. Can we practice the art of sometimes sitting down and listening to God? That God, you are making me go through this situation, this messy situation, these circumstances. What are the things? What are the things that you want me to know? What are the lessons that you want me to draw? Holy Spirit, inspire me. Talk to me. I want to listen to your word. I want to listen to your will. Sometimes God will not bring you out of that situation, but he's going to comfort you, right? He's going to tell you that, don't worry, my child. In the appropriate time, I will bring you up. But right now, I want you to believe. And in the moments and the art of listening is where instructions come from. Instruction comes from when you listen to God. When you sit down to listen to him, instruction will come. Instruction that will facilitate the day of your restoration. They will come to you. They came to, when in the book of 1 Samuel, I believe, when David came back to the camp, he realized that they had taken everything in captivity. Everything that he had, they had taken to captivity. That the people, the enemy, they infiltrated the place and they took everything out. And because of that, the natural response of human beings whenever we are faced with such adversity is to break down. All of them broke down. They began to weep. They began to cry. The Bible said that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And he asked of the Lord. And he listened. And God gave him directive. Go. Chase. Overtake. Recover. Sometimes God will give you instructions in the moment of your listening. The instruction that will facilitate your restoration. Listen to him. Hear him speak. Listen to him, hear him speak. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 verse 33, he said, listen to my instruction and be wise. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard them. Blessed are those who listen to me. Blessed are those who watch daily at my door. Blessed are those who wait at my doorway. Psalms 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. All of these things comes at the place of listening to him. If you don't listen to him, God is not going to speak to you. Or if he's speaking to you and you don't listen to him, you are going to be disconnected. So the first one is listen. The second one is trust in the plan. Or trust in his plans. Trust in his plan. Philippians chapter 1 verse 8 says, be confident of this, that he who had begun a good work in your life will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Trust the process, everyone. It is not easy. I know it's not easy. I know it's not palatable. Even though you are oblivious to what is going on, even though you don't understand what is going on, but you choose to trust in the process. Trusting the process is a deliberate act. It is a deliberate act that you must learn. Trust in what God is doing. That God, I'm here. I don't understand what is going on. I have no idea this season I'm going through. But I trust in the efficacy of your faithfulness. I trust in the power of your strength. And I draw inspiration from the Bible. People who also went through a similitude of experience. And how God overturned those experiences and bring laughter to them at the end. You can also latch upon that word and cry out to God and tell God, I trust in this process. There are many things that I go through, I don't understand. Why am I going through these things? But I know that God is taking me through them. So I learn to trust in the process. And I wait on him. Trust in what God is doing in your life. It is only for a moment. It is only ephemeral. It is just a moment. Trust in him. Trust in the process. Trust in what God is doing. The third is rejoice through it all. Rejoice through it all. James 1, 3 to 4 says that, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 2. I want to come. James chapter 1, verse 2. He said, consider it a joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. It is not easy to rejoice when we go through situations. It is not easy to rejoice when we go through stress. It is not easy to rejoice in a messy situation. But the instruction that God is giving to us right now is that we should rejoice in them. If God is saying you should rejoice in your situation, that means there is a secret that he wants to uncover. There is a secret that he wants to tell you from that. And it's that sometimes rejoicing will expedite the process. Rejoicing will facilitate the process. That God can see that even though you are going through this situation and the natural response is for you to cry and for you to nag, yet you chose to rejoice in him. Because of that, God can fasten the days of your waiting. Paul and Silas in prison, they were in prison, yet they were still shouting, they were still praying, they were still praising God, they were still singing hymns. And because of that, the Bible says God came and rescued them. Rejoice through it all. What is the first one that I said? Yeah? What is the second one? The third one? And the last one is hope in him. Hope in him. Going back to the book of Job, chapter number 14, verse 7 to 9. That there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its shoots will not die. So far, I want to encourage you this morning, everyone. So far, you still draw breath. So far, you are still living. It is not over. It is not over. That situation that you are going through right now, it is not over. God still has you in his agenda for this generation. You are still part of his plan. Even though what you are going through is beyond your control or is something that you did yourself. Maybe you committed a sin and because of that you are experiencing the consequences of it. And because of that you think that, the dream is now discontinued. The destiny has now been aborted. Everything is now terminated. I have no hope again. I have no recourse anymore. I'm here to tell you this morning that there is still hope. As long as you draw breath, there is still hope for you. Listen to what the Bible said. He said there is still hope for a tree. If a tree still has hope, how much more you, that you are made in the image of Christ Jesus, in the image of God, there is still hope for you. This season that you are going through is just a trying time. They are just a way for God to refine your faith, to strengthen you, so that you can become qualified for that destiny that he has entrusted and designated for you. I want you to rejoice in that trying time. I want you to hope again in him. I want you to say that, God, yes, I'm going through this thing, but I hope in you. My hope is on 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 you. Even though I don't know what is going on, even though what I'm going through is beyond my capacity, even though what I'm experiencing is beyond my control, but I choose to hope in you. I choose to hope in you, Lord Jesus. I choose to hope in you, Lord Jesus. I choose to hope in you that my destiny is still valid. My dream is still valid. That which you have said concerning me will still take action. It's still active. I will not lose hope. Help me. I will not lose hope. Even if your strength is depleting, you can still ask God that, God, strengthen me. Just like what Peter said, that, Lord, I don't have faith, but, I have faith. Yet, amplify my faith. Add to my faith. Maybe some of you are going to ask God that, God, help me. These trying times that I'm going through, let me know the purpose of what I'm going through. Let me know the purpose of this situation that I'm experiencing, this season that I'm in right now. Let me know the purpose. Speak to me. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. Speak to me. My hope is on you. My hope is on you. You didn't tell me what I know, Oluwa. Your past does not disqualify you, everybody. I'm telling you that your past does not disqualify you. God can still change that mess and change it to message. It means it will turn your struggle into a test. It will turn your struggle rather into a story that inspires others. Your past does not disqualify you. It prepares you. And your test can become a testimony. Your test can become a testimony. When you surrender your pain to God, he reshapes it for purpose. God can bring a purpose out of that pain. He can bring a testimony out of that test. He will bring a message out of your mess. Out of that situation that you think it is over. Out of that situation that you think there is no other recourse. God can still bring a story out of it. A story that will transform your life, that will transform your nation. A story that God can use to inspire others so that they can come to faith. So that they can come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Don't hide your mess. Let it speak. That your scars shows that you have survived. Your scars can show that you have survived. These are the things that I went through. So that you can be a bastion of inspiration to other people that are going through the same. That are going through a similitude of that experience. That you can reach out to them. That God can use you as an instrument. You that you have been chased out of your family. You that you have been banished from the society. You can become somebody. You can become a cornerstone. You can become somebody that people now celebrate. That they will come to and ask for advice. You that you have been dejected before. You can now become somebody that has been accepted. You can become something. You can become somebody that people will now come to for counsel. That people can come to for inspiration. That people can look at your life and look at the struggles that you overcome. They look at your life and look at the things that you've been able to endure. And they can come to you and say, look, I want that. I want that. How did you go through that? That thing that was meant to crush you, that thing that was meant to destroy you, how did you overcome that? Can you speak to me? Can you tell me? Can you tell me? In 1 minute, can you close your eyes and ask God, that Father, I don't know what I'm going through right now, but I trust in you. I don't know what I'm going through right now, but I trust in that process. Because I rest upon the efficacy of your power. I rest upon the efficacy of your faithfulness. I know even though I am oblivious to what I'm going through, your power can still bring me out. I know that even though I don't understand what I'm going through, yet will I trust in you. Yet will I hope in you. Yet will I trust in you. David was a man that was characterized by so many issues. So many problems, so many adversities. And yet, even in the midst of those adversity, even in the midst of those situations, of those problems, he said, will I hope unto him? Yet, will I trust in him? Can you trust in him this morning? Can you put that, God, give me the strength, give me the grace to be faithful to you. Give me the grace to hope more in you. In places that my hope is depleting fire, can you amplify it? Can you strengthen my hope? Can you strengthen my faith? Can you strengthen my faith, Lord? Help me, because I know that that situation I'm going through is only for your glory. I know that the end of that situation I'm going through is that the excellency of your power can be displayed over my life. Let my life enhance the message of the gospel, that people can see me, people can watch me, and they will see your hand in my life. People can see me, and my life will point to the kingdom of God. That my life can proliferate and propagate the kingdom of God. My life can be an avenue for people to come to the understanding, to come into the light of Christ Jesus. That even though I'm going through situations right now, I know that you are preparing me for a better place. I know that this is not the end of my life. This cannot be the end of my life. I know you have a hand in whatever I'm going through. And it is to the end that your name is praised. It is to the end that your power is shown. It is to the end that the excellency of your strength is displayed. Father, help me. Amplify my strength. Help me to hope more in you. 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 If you are going through whatever situation right now, can you cry to God that, Father, let me come out of this mess quickly. Can you expedite the process of my waiting? Help me come out of this mess quickly. That purpose of my situation, the purpose of my pain, the purpose of my messy life, my messy situation, let it be shown. Jephthah was a man that was banished. He became somebody that they ran to in time of help. Can you pray to God that, Father, in that place that they have deserted me, in that place that they have rejected me, I'm going back to take over. I'm going back to take over. I'm going back there to take over. I'm going back there to take over. This difficulty will not crush me. Bring out the best. Recycle. Recycle that hard time. Recycle my hard time and bring a message of hope from it. A message of hope from my mess. A message of restoration from my mess. That God is going to restore you, and because of that, you will be a bastion of inspiration to other people. That you can bring other people up. Can you cry out to him this morning? That, Father, help me. Strengthen my faith. I have faith in you. Strengthen my faith the more. In this time of trying, help me to wait upon you. Help me to hope. Help me to dare to hope. Help me to dare to hope. Even though it is unpalatable. Even though my situation is messy. Even though my situation is unfathomable. But I trust in you. I trust in the efficacy of your power, in the efficacy of your faithfulness to bring me out very soon. I know that all good things abound unto me. That all good things work together for me. That all good things work together for me.